Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. Hey, what's going on, folks? I made a new friend. His name is Joey Williamson. Zane, how did you manage that? Well, I guess sometimes I get lucky. Anyway, Joey is kind of like a mouthpiece for congenital heart defects and building awareness through discussion about that exact thing. He himself has a congenital heart defect, and he reached out to me. I reached out to him, and the next thing you know, we're talking about it because this is actually the month that, or actually, I should say the week that this podcast is released. Is Congenital Heart Defect Week, and the month of February, kind of like February is, you know, Valentine's hearts. It's like the whole heart thing is covered in the month of February, so it's fitting, and I took a little time to get to know Joey and find out what he's all about. Huge sports fan, huge wrestling fan for you wrestling heads. In fact, he does a lot of talking about that. He's got some spots online that I'll detail in the notes of this podcast about that exact thing, sports and wrestling. And also, there's information in the notes of this podcast about where you can get more information about congenital heart defects and in the state of Michigan and on and on and on, and just helping build a dialogue with my new best pal, Joey Williamson. I hope you like the interview right here.
The right atrium's where the process begins, where the CO2 blood enters the heart. Through the tricuspid valve to the right ventricle, the pulmonary artery and lungs. Once inside the lungs, it dumps its carbon dioxide and picks up its oxygen supply. Then it's back to the heart, through the pulmonary vein, through the atrium and left ventricle.
Joey Williamson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
Okay, so you look like a pro wrestler. Is that are you shooting for that right now?
No, I wish I could physically, but no, the headband is from Karate Kid.
Okay. I know you're like a you're huge on entertainment and pop culture and things like that. Like, yeah. I know you're a what do you think you're more of a fan of, wrestling or other sports?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, I've been a pro wrestling fan as long as I can remember. My mom tells me I started watching when I was 3 or 4 years old, and I've never stopped. But in case people don't consider that a sport, because some people don't, I would say my top three are baseball, NASCAR, and this is going to sound really crazy to people, but bowling. I love watching bowling on television. Really? Yes.
Wow. That's terrific. So you would take those over wrestling?
Probably not.
Okay.
No. But what I'm saying, like I don't know, it's hard because...
Oh, you're just saying that those are all like things that don't have a theatrical element to it. Of all those.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
which, you know, for the record, that's how I view wrestling. I look at wrestling as the same thing as any show that you might binge watch on a serial type basis, but with the physical element to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what wins, and that's what's always been, you know.
Yeah, and there was a local pro wrestling promotion here in Grand Rapids, like, I don't know, I want to say about 10 years ago, and I was actually involved with it. I did some play-by-play commentary type stuff and pretended to be a bad guy manager. And
oh, fun.
It was fun. I probably had no business being involved at ringside because I wasn't trained, but like people knew it was my dream to be involved.
Yep.
And knew I couldn't actually wrestle. So
yeah, no, I totally get it. And there's something to be said about the entertainment, about what you're doing when you're doing those types of theatrics to entertain. And I've done it twice. I was actually in the ring for one match in Tennessee against a little person. It was great fun. And then another one also in Tennessee, like weeks later, where I hit the guy over the head with a championship belt. and I was supposed to hit it with the face of the belt, which wouldn't do nearly as much damage, but I hit him with the edge of the belt, like the edge of the metal. And it was bad. I cut the guy.
Ooh.
So, but you know, yeah, I totally get it. I just watched the documentary about Andre the Giant on HBO. Have you seen that one?
Oh yeah, I actually bought it the day it came out on DVD because I love wrestling documentaries, specifically the non WWE ones.
Right.
Because I feel like with WWE they kind of tend to leave stuff out, and they try to glorify their company and promotion as much as possible. And so like I love don't get me wrong, the WWE ones that they make are great, but I feel like you don't get the full story, whereas like the Andre the Giant one, you got the full story. There's a TV show out there called Dark Side of the Ring that's on Vice TV, and they're coming into their third season this year.
Wow.
Like there are stories that will blow your mind.
Man, I would like to check that out because I'm interested in that too. I was a big fan of Beyond the Mat. I was a big fan of the Andre documentary. It broke my heart hearing about how, you know, he couldn't, it's like he kind of had that tortured life going on. He was always uncomfortable, always in pain. And then the idea that he had to, but what I did like was when they talked about the property that he bought in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then he had those people who were caretakers / friends / people who would help him. And I don't know. I just thought that documentary really captured this human side of this man. And it just was painful to watch. I never knew he was in so much pain at that WrestleMania at the Silverdome when he had Hogan slam him.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in such bad shape then.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God. Was,
the fact that he even wrestled after the Hogan match is mind blowing to me, that he still wrestled for another, I think it was 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
And like, I can't even imagine.
I was, I'm smiling because when he, the whole thing about how he didn't like Randy Macho Man Savage, and Hogan is doing the impression of Macho. Hey, buddy, what are we gonna do there, big guy? You know?
Yeah, that was great. I mean, like, there's actually quite a few people he didn't like, but Macho Man was actually the one that kind of surprised me the most.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Well, look, I can tell we're already gonna hit it off. Contrary to what people may think, this is the first time we've actually spoken in person. Correct.
Yes.
You and I have established over the years. I'm looking back at our dialogue, and as the years have gone on, we've talked here and there. You know, I know you're a pal of Jason Dufalo over at Cornhole America, and that's, were you the one who led me to him about getting on the show?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, because it was because of your tip that I reached out to him, and then, you know, that was it. That was all we needed. So,
well, you were already sponsoring another one of my friends.
Oops. Oh, so, hey, my wife says hi to you.
Hello.
The dog wanted to come in and say hi. So, sorry, Joey.
No, it's all good. But you had already been sponsoring Blue Frost IT, or they had already been sponsoring you.
Yes.
And I'm actually friends with Alan Gilbert as well.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. His wife and my significant other used to work together, and so I've known the Gilberts. I mean, going
nice
6-7 years now. I
okay.
Think.
Okay. Well, there you go. It all ties in. Yeah. So you and I had traded information over a period of time. You know, in fact, you that was you with that rap song, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So my buddy Jordan Montez, he lives down in Plainwell, and he's had some time off over the last year because of COVID.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's very big on entertaining. He's done a lot of comedy shows with like Bill Busher and a lot of other big comedy names out there. And so he wanted to start getting back into his music and his comedy. And we're both big fans of the show Cobra Kai. Like
everybody is. Everybody loves that show.
Yeah, we both binge watched it like the same day it came out. And so I just got to thinking one day, because he was kind of feeling down in the dumps. And I'm like, Jordan, why don't we do a rap song about Cobra Kai? Let's just make it cheesy and corny. I mean, I can't rap, and I can do the spoken stuff, and it'll be great. And so We literally wrote and recorded the song within 4 hours.
Oh yeah, it was. It's not bad, man. I loved it. I when you sent it along, I said, fantastic, well done." And then I posted it up. It's in fact, I'll at the end of this podcast, I'll include all the information for the song so that maybe people check it out and have fun with it, which is all you were hoping to do in the first place.
Yeah. Just some entertainment to get people to smile and laugh. And That's one thing about me, Eric, is like I will always try and find ways to poke fun at myself or embarrass myself if it gets somebody to laugh and smile.
Well, that's right up my alley, man. That's been my bread and butter for as long as I've been doing this. So, and then you reached out with something a little more serious. And you had written, I just thought I would share this with you for if you have some time. And it was an article, or I should say YouTube a piece about Dear Sports World, it's time to acknowledge congenital heart disease. And I was like, boy, what is going on here? What's up with this? And so that was something that you were involved in, correct?
Yeah, that I actually recorded that podcast.
Okay. So, now I was like, well, boy, what's going on here with that? So then I did a little bit more searching. You and I had a discussion about that. And then you told me that you were born with the congenital heart disease. And since, as you've worked your way through this, you have been a mouthpiece for it, especially this time, because this is a key moment right now. This week is very important. Isn't that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Cause this is national.
February in itself is heart month.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's stuff going on all month. But I honestly wish I knew the history of it. But somewhere down the line, Congenital Heart Disease Awareness Week was formed, and it's from February 7th through the 14th every single year.
Yep.
It never changes.
All right. So being that you were born with a congenital heart defect, when did you start getting involved in being kind of like a mouthpiece for this? How long has this been going on?
So I kind of want to backtrack a little bit because
please.
Growing up, like I knew I was different from other people. Like I knew my scars showed it, and stuff like that. Because not only was I born with the congenital heart stuff, I was also born with my liver outside my body. So I have one scar going down here, and then a really ugly looking like scar that doesn't even look right. So I knew I was different, and there were times in school that I felt like I didn't belong. So I always fought against, you know, thinking that I was different and thinking I was like everybody else. But that kind of changed during my last surgery. My last open heart surgery, ironically enough, is 7 years ago this week, actually. And, you know, as I was going through that time of getting ready for surgery, I was like, you know, I don't have any adults my age that I can talk to. I don't know of anybody my age that's been through what I've been through. It's always been like, you know, parents that have kids have been through it. And so a week or two before my last surgery, I met this young lady online through a support group on Facebook. And it's crazy because she lives in Texas and she has like almost the exact same diagnosis that I had at birth. And so getting to know her and talk to her almost daily, it really kind of changed my attitude about things. And the surgery itself changed my attitude on things. I'm like, you know what? This is difficult. This is not easy. People need to know that this journey in life for, you know, people with CHD, it's not easy. Just because you don't see the scars, just because you might not see us in a wheelchair or on crutches or, you know, other stuff, that doesn't mean it's easy. And so I really flipped the switch back in 2014 and realized, okay, I got to start speaking out about this.
Wow.
I got to start talking about this.
Okay.
Because like I had my second open heart when I was 17 years old, and I bounced back from that quickly. I mean, I was in and out of the hospital in 3.5 days and went back to school 10 days later, which it was completely unheard of. Like, that just was completely unheard of. So I still didn't think much about it because I had this like superhuman recovery. But, you know, during my last surgery, recovery was not so easy.
Okay.
Because I was getting older, you know, I was 29. I'd already had all these surgeries in my life. And so I had to work harder. I had to work smarter. And I also had to sit home for 8 weeks, which gave me a lot of time to think about things. And one of those things I thought about was, I need to start raising awareness.
Oh, man. It would be totally okay to not. It would be just totally okay to just say, I just want to get through this and go on with my life doing whatever. But I think that's pretty freaking outstanding to, be hopefully someone won't be in the same position you were in where you felt alone.
Yeah.
Because of what you're doing and discussing it. And I think that's, absolutely fantastic. And so I know that you have been banging the drum, say, hey, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? Because you've talked to many, many prominent people in the community of West Michigan. You sent me the Fox 17 story. I saw that one. I saw that you were on with Big Drew and Jim when that show was on. God rest those guys' souls.
I love that show.
That was a great show.
I miss those guys. I'm glad they're doing very successful now with other avenues, but like, they were legitimately the first ones in the media in Grand Rapids to give me a platform.
How did that come about? Because that's not, because when you do what they do and what I did or do now,
yeah,
you get things like this all the time. Okay. Yeah. And it's very easy to lose sight of the incoming requests. People are like, don't like people. It's just sometimes tough. How did you manage to get their attention?
So I started listening to Drew and Jim probably like 5 years ago. And Drew always made pro wrestling references, and their music coming back from commercial were always pro wrestling themes. So I started interacting with the show a lot more once I realized Drew was a pro wrestling fan And Jim always hated on it. So I would always give, you know, give and take a little bit. But then, you know, I met Drew along the way at some of their appearances. And just, you know, I'm like, hey, dude, I'm a big pro wrestling fan. You know, I love your work on the radio. And we just started hitting it off. And finally, one day, I just worked up the courage. I'm like, hey, this is kind of my story. This is what I've had gone on in my life.
Yeah.
And no one's ever really given me a major platform to talk about it and raise awareness for it. This is what I would like to do. If you're willing to have me on, have me on. And they had me on for 2 years in a row.
Oh yeah. Well, that's great. That sounds about right. You know, I've heard nothing but excellent things about them. I had a little bit of interaction when we worked in the same building, but that was right when they started like fire everybody all the damn time over there.
Yeah.
But whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But that doesn't surprise me a bit. So that's awesome. Well, you know, and that kind of brings me to you. And I want to talk a little bit more about what exactly you're doing and how people who are might have a congenital heart defect can get some type of dialogue going, because that's what you want to do. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And yep. But can you take me back? Because you said you were born with a congenital heart defect. You had the liver issue. The liver was born outside of your body. Miraculously, those doctors saved your life. I bet you that when you were born, they were like, we don't know if this kid's going to make it, right?
It's funny. I almost wish I would have shared this with you. And I'll have to look for it, you know, down the line. But about 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago now, my mom shared her testimony at the church that she goes to. And they wanted me there for it, because it was mainly about me and her pregnancy with me. And there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know that she went through. Like she was literally did not know if I was gonna live or not. And not to get political, because I know this is a sensitive subject for a lot of people, but her doctor had told her to get an abortion multiple times. And my mom was like, no. And if you ask me about it again, I'm going to find another doctor.
Well, yeah.
For her, it was a faith thing. And she had, you know, she had told me, and this was in her testimony, that she would rather know that she gave me a chance rather than giving up and not knowing what could have been. And so basically how the whole thing started is, I think it was her second or third ultrasound. They thought I had a hernia. And so they were going to keep an eye on it. And so they did another ultrasound, saw that it wasn't a hernia. It was my liver outside my body.
Yikes.
Yep. And so they're like, okay, if he's having problems with his liver, we're going to check the other organs. Send her to a cardiologist. Sure enough, they found out that I had multiple congenital heart defects. Like you said, they were very unsure if I was going to make it or not. But once I was born, she met with a pediatric cardiologist in Grand Rapids, and he started to give her a lot of hope and encouragement, you know, with the right medicine and, you know, taking care of me.
Yeah.
There was hope for me.
Wow. Thank God your mother didn't listen to that doc and she was strong in her faith. I would have done the same thing. Your mother and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Again, not to be political, but I'm just not really a life-taking type of person. So that's incredible. And I bet that when you found that out, you were probably shook to your core when you heard that information.
Like I knew about the abortion dialogue before the testimony.
Okay.
But I didn't know that it was persistent.
Right.
And I didn't know just how much she dealt with the first 5 years I was alive. And so, yeah, it shook me to my core. Like they had me come up on stage after she was done giving her testimony. I couldn't even talk. I was in tears. And, you know, every time I listen to it, I still choke up.
So I see the laundry list of things that you have that you're dealing with. Atrial septal defect, pulmonary atresia. Yep. I know what the atrial septal defect, that's a hole between the top chambers of your heart. Yes.
Yeah.
My son has that, had it. He was born with that. He was born with a congenital heart defect, that, and he had what's called pulmonary stenosis, thickening of the valves.
Yep.
And constant monitoring, it worked out on its own, which does happen.
Yes, it does.
And have you, but, with you, you've had to endure the surgeries, and what is the prognosis for you? Because I read that you're not on medicine, right? You're taking care of yourself so that you don't even need medicine at this point, right?
Yep. I was on medicine when I was a little kid. You know, because I actually had seizures a lot when I was a child. But they had me on different meds when I was a kid. And for some reason, when I was 11, I think I was 11 years old, I quit taking my meds. Just never told my parents.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Never consulted my doctors, nothing. But like, for me, I was feeling so good at the time. Okay. And I'm like, why am I putting this stuff in my body if I don't need it? And so my mom found out, she wasn't too happy about it.
So wait, did you say you were 11 years old when you did this?
Yeah. I for me, it was one of those faith things where, like, I know my body, and I know somebody's looking out for me because I'm doing so well. And believe it or not, when we went back to the doctors and told them, they're like, yeah, he's doing well. Take him off his meds.
Wow. That's fantastic. Well,
so the only thing I'm on now, and not to cut you off.
No, it's all right.
I do have to wear a CPAP because I do have severe sleep apnea.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the surgeries contribute to that. So
that's manageable. At least, did you see that new device that they're starting to market on TV?
I have not.
There's a new device and I got to look into it. I wrote it down. Damnedest thing. Inspire is what it's called. And it's a dude sitting on his bed with his wife, and it's kind of like a snarky. They're being silly, you know, so it's kind of like lighthearted.
Yeah.
But he says that all he has to do is push a button, and it starts to work. And I think it's some type of implant. Hmm. And I just heard about it, so I didn't mean to get you off track.
But. No. So, medicine wise, I've caught a break in life with that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm on a couple of different medications for different minor issues, mm-hmm. but nothing with the heart at this point.
Have you teamed up with any organizations to continue this this little mission that you're on to kind of help you along? Maybe some of their resources.
So I've been involved with a organization that's called Conquering CHD. It's a national organization, but also has their state chapters of it. So I'm very involved with the people, you know, of Conquering CHD of Michigan. I actually do fundraisers on Facebook for them every single year. Actually right now, if you go to the, Hollywood's World of Sports Facebook page that I run, the pinned post on top is a fundraiser for Conquering CHD of Michigan.
I'll link it all up at the end. In fact, I'll have you send me that when we get done, and I'll that'll be part of it. So that'll be good. Excellent. Okay. Well,
you want to know some interesting facts?
Yeah, I do. Please.
And this is why I'm like kind of like hell bent, as you might say, to like raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There are athletes and celebrities out there that you might not would ever think that have a congenital heart defect. Shaun White is one of them.
That's the snowboarder guy, right?
Yep.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yep. Arnold Schwarzenegger has one.
Wow.
my favorite team, the New York Yankees. Aaron Boone has a congenital heart defect.
Oh, I had no idea.
Jimmy Kimmel's son has a congenital heart defect.
My son.
Yes. Yep. And here's the thing that I get a little frustrated with this, and I don't mind sharing this with you. It's frustrating to me because all those people are linked to it, but don't say anything about it.
My God.
I just found out the other day, and I'm not going to reveal my sources, but I have been told by some people that every time that someone contacts Jimmy Kimmel's office about appearing at a CHD event or talking about it, he turns them down. And so it's disappointing to me that it has the stigma that it does, because again, you can't see our scars. Nobody can see our scars unless I have my shirt off. You know, you can't see them. And like, people, the biggest misconception about CHD, and I've gotten it, and it frustrates me. The biggest misconception is that people think just because you have surgery, you're cured. And there is no cure.
Right.
There's none. I look at surgery as maintenance, as a way to maintain the best quality of life you can possibly have.
So if you could put into a nutshell what you would hope to be able to achieve with the world, like if you were given, okay, Joey, what is the one thing, if we could grant a wish, that you could accomplish, what would that be? I mean, like with all of the talking you're doing, building awareness, tell me what you're thinking.
My goal with this, anyways, it's not my own personal goal, but the goal for everybody that has CHD would to put CHD on the same level as every other type of illness and disease out there. Because you hear about cancer research all the time. You hear about diabetes research all the time. You hear about Alzheimer's research all the time. And I don't want to take away from those things, because those are all excellent things to raise awareness for and, you know, do research for. But I always ask the question, why isn't CHD on the same level?
Gotcha. I understand. And I'm glad that you reached out, because, you know, it's, first of all, I've enjoyed making friends with you. You seem like a hell of a guy. And hey, pals for life. That's what it is.
Exactly, man.
No, man. I'll be anything at all you need. You just let me know, and I'll be able to do my little part. I mean, I'm not Joe Rogan, but you know what?
It's like, I just appreciate people wanting to listen and wanting to learn. I don't care if you're just somebody off the street or somebody that's high up, or it doesn't matter to me. Like, if the biggest thing for me is, you know, being involved with people that want to learn and want to get to know more.
Sure. Okay. Well, what the best way to get a hold of, like, if someone's listening to this and they want to know more about you or more about what you're trying to tell them about, where should we direct them, Joey?
So probably the best way, without giving my personal Facebook away, would be the Hollywood's World of Sports Facebook page. I check all my messages on there every single day, even if I don't get to them right away. You know, I use that page mainly, obviously, because I love sports and pro wrestling. But if somebody wants to have a conversation with me about stuff, that would probably be the best way to go about it.
Okay. I'll also link up Conquering CHD of Michigan. Is that something that you'd want me to do as well?
Yep, I will send you the link to that as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate the time, and I'm glad that you reached out and said, hey, what's up? And did that, because I was like, hey, man, this guy really wants to be on the podcast, and yeah, I think he'd be great at it. So I think you did an awesome job.
I appreciate it. Anytime you want to, you ever want to talk sports or pro wrestling, I'm your guy.
Actually, let's end it. Let's end this with a couple of things. First of all, the New York Yankees, you're born and raised in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did you become a Yankees fan?
So I have some weird taste in sports teams. I'm a Yankees fan because I was intrigued by Aaron Judge coming into the league because he had struggled. Like, so when they brought him up, I think it was 2016, he had batted like 187 for the 3 months that he was up.
Yeah.
And so when they brought him back, and I think it was 2017 already, I'm like, why did they bring him back, a guy that couldn't bat 200?
Right.
And then he starts to go on this tear.
Yeah.
You know, his rookie year.
Right.
And I started watching some of his interviews. I'm like, man, this guy is a humble, genuine, man of faith guy. I kind of like another Tim Tebow in a lot of ways. And I was like, I want to get behind this guy. And I don't care. I don't care if he, I don't care if he plays for the most hated team in the game. I'm going to get behind him. And that's so, your team. Right. Yeah, that's my team now. And I'm also a Carolina Panthers fan, oddly enough. So,
my God. Yeah. All sorts of different things. You got all sorts of tricks up your sleeve.
I am a Pistons fan, in case anybody wants to know. I like any Michigan teams. I do love the Pistons.
Okay. How about hockey? Is hockey in your wheelhouse too?
Oh, man, I struggle with hockey. I don't know why. I just struggle with hockey. Like, I kid you not, I fight with people on this all the time. I would rather watch bowling and cornhole than hockey. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate for that.
No, that's all right. I mean, you actually are pretty accomplished at cornhole, aren't you?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm accomplished, but I've gotten very much involved into the community.
Okay.
In West Michigan, and that's thanks to our pal Jason, who I've become really good friends with over the last year and a half.
Oh, I love that guy. I hit it off with them right away. He gave me a tour of the factory of them making the boards. It's really cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Joey Williamson, I appreciate you and informing us and all this stuff. And I look forward to future conversations. Okay.
Awesome. I appreciate it so much, Eric.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. I hope you have a good night, a good rest of your week, and I'll talk to you very soon, okay?
Yep. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Peace.
Peace.
See ya.
See ya.